podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to
tell? Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Freeze, bitch. It's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show as I mute my cell phone. Tune in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show featuring best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and a 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri, RootRootRadio.com on the beaches of San Diego, California, OldiesXL.com at 3 a.m. on Sundays. They play the new and unsigned rock and metal that we have here on the show. I won't be tuned in there, but if you tune in, let me know. They are out of Philadelphia, so they do share the same time zone as me. At 3 a.m., I am pretty much out. who am I forgetting? Oh, yeah, xrpradio.co.uk out of the Highlands of Scotland, also where we do Friendly Fire once a month. Check that out by going to xrpradio.co.uk and go to /chat and you can chat with everyone who's hanging out there and listening to the music. I'm sure I'm forgetting somewhere. Oh, well, not oh well, but, you know, I'll cheat. Let me do this. Who did I forget? Oh, yeah, my own station, buildasteamradio.com. Anyway, this is going to be a fun one. This is episode number 635 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me today is Sean from Six-O-Matic. What's up, Sean?
How's it going?
That was an interesting intro. We'll see how the rest of this goes. So, Odie's XL is a new one. That's awesome. And I questioned them. I'm like, are you sure you want to play my show on an Odie's station? Sure enough, they do.
They're all going to be oldies one day, right?
That's true. So I messaged you the other day. Are you involved at all with the Piping Society in Pittsburgh?
No. I've gone to a couple or one or two of their meetings or sessions. But, I mean, there's enough of a piping scene and community here that they don't need me. No, yeah, it's And it's not just Highland bagpipers too. Like there's a lot of like Julian pipers and small pipes. so I mean it's a pretty big community and it's a great time. Like if you're into the bagpipes, I mean, you know, we have CMU here and they have a bagpipe program and their instructors, you know, world class guy from Norman Island, I think, and we have at least like off the top of my head, I could think of like at least five or six people, pipers in Pittsburgh who are like that caliber, like they've played in world champ, like the world championships, have placed in, you know, like played in like North American championship bands. And so like they show up and, you know, it's basically just like a, in the spirit of an Irish session where they take turns and kind of, you know, just have fun with it and maybe show off a little bit and, some group tunes, and it's a lot of fun.
You mentioned a couple different types of bagpipes. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what can you enlighten us a little bit on them?
Yeah. So when most people think of the bagpipes, at least in the U.S., I would imagine, I think they think of what are basically Scottish bagpipes. There might be more than, like one kind of Scottish bagpipes. But they're called the Great Highland bagpipes. And that's, you know, the big ones with the kilty bands marching in the parades and stuff like that, and has three drones. But, you know, there's also another very popular type that people don't realize is different is called the Uilleann bagpipe. And that's an Irish bagpipe and like completely different. Well, not completely, but it's got a bag and pipes, but that's where the similarities are really probably come to an end, because it's not blown like the Highland bagpipe is. It's the air is provided by through a bellows. So you squeeze your arm to get that air going, and then you have to maintain the pressure with the other arm. And the way the pipes are set up is different, and different tonality and different keys and things like that. And that's, I think it was in Titanic, the band Gaelic Storm. I think that's the kind they use. And that's, I think, actually the kind that is used in the Braveheart love theme that everybody wants the Highland bagpipers to play at their wedding. And we have to explain to them, okay, but it's not going to sound quite the same because it's a completely different instrument. And I mean, then there's it's Breton or Brereton. I can't remember how to pronounce it. Pipes that are, I think those are from around France. I'm probably screwing this part up and pissing off a lot of people, but, there's bagpipes in Eastern Europe, Asia, probably Africa. I mean, they're believed to have originated in Africa and Egypt about 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. And they're in most, I think, major civilizations in one form or another.
And which type do you play?
I play the Great Highland bagpipes. I have a couple electronic bagpipes too, which is made for the ones that I have are made for Great Highland bagpipe players, because that's how the fingering is set up. But since they're digital and MIDI capable, you can. They have patches and programs that you can use that you can make it sound like a very convincing Uilleann bagpipe or, you know, different kinds like that.
How did you get started with the bagpipes?
My uncle was a drummer in a bagpipe band. And when I was like 7, we would go see them in the parades. And I thought, that the bagpipe bands were cool and the bagpipes were cooler than the drums. So I started taking lessons from the pipe major, John Duxbury, who was a family friend too, and went from there.
Do you play any other instruments?
Yeah. So I play, I can play piano. Like, I wouldn't go to any recitals, but I know my way around a keyboard and can follow along or make stuff up. Play in like guitar, bass guitar, figuring out, synthesizers is a lot of fun. What else? And then I can play the Irish tin whistle, but it's because the fingering is similar to the bagpipes, but the breathing is very different. And, so I don't play them well, but it's fun to play around with.
You might appreciate this. My son is a trumpet player.
Oh, cool.
And I've started driving him to school this year because he's going to a different school and the busing doesn't quite work for us in the morning. Mm-hmm. And he has started warming up with his mouthpiece in the car.
Oh.
And I keep telling him he's not allowed to do that, and I keep losing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's That's really cool. Good for him. Yeah, I actually have a trumpet. Like, I also have quite a few other instruments that I haven't even begun to learn playing yet, but I would like to. And they were like, it's like the trumpet, for example, is my father-in-law's, and I have my wife's like high school clarinet. But I do have the mouthpiece for the trumpet by my desk as a reminder that I want to learn to play it and I want to practice that embouchure. But yeah, it hasn't happened yet.
He, we'll talk about him off the air. So we're here. You were on the show a while ago and we talked a little bit. So hopefully I haven't covered too much that we covered in that episode, but, you have a new single that you're releasing.
Yeah. It's called La, and, it's spelled L, and then the A has an accent over it. And I can't remember the technical name for that accent now, but, it's there because, the title is the Irish word for a 24-hour period. And it's also the sixth note in the, do, re, mi scale. So I thought that was cool to have that there. But the significance of that is that it goes along with the song because, I realized after it was done that it kind of mimicked, a 24-hour period, like, or like a day. Like, there was a very law-like journey in the music where it starts off kind of slow and, like, you know, like twinkling, kind of like, you know, your morning dew and opening your eyes. And then it has, you know, it has a rise to like a nice noontime, happy sunshine out kind of peak. And then it kind of goes down. And then the second half of the song is kind of like a Mr. Hyde to the Dr. Jekyll, the first half, where it's not sunny and happy anymore, but it's a bit more grimy and, you know, minor keyed. And I thought it was like a nice kind of end to the day. Like, you know, you have your day and you go to work and you're happy and sunshine. And then maybe after that you go to the club or whatever and then have a raucous night. So I thought it was pretty neat how that kind of happened serendipitously, I guess. And thought that was a cool word to kind of capture that journey and, you know, also incorporate like the sixth note in the do, re, mi scale, and there is a word for it that I can't think of right now. And also being six-o-matic, tying to that sixth, it was all just too good to pass up.
So I asked this question, and I have a feeling it'll be a different type of answer. What is the writing process like on a bagpipe? Because I'm sure it's much different than that, what I usually get when I'm talking to guitar and bass and drums.
Yeah. So I don't have a process. And I'm not sure if that's I don't have a process yet, or I just don't have a process. Because I'm relatively new to doing this kind of music or doing this kind of composition with bagpipes. So I guess part of me is still feeling it out. And it could be that I'm always going to be feeling it out, or I might find something that, you know, I really find a good groove in and stick with for a while. But so in as much as how it happened, I don't know because I don't have a set process for it yet. I will say, like, for this one, I had the first half of the song, and that was the song. And I had the chords and the beat or the rhythm, I think, first, and couldn't figure out what I wanted to do for the melody, like as far as instrumentation or even what the melody was. And I think I was playing around with my electronic bagpipes one night and just came across something and recorded it in one take and then had to do a little bit of editing. But I was like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. But then as I was doing some more mixing, like there was one part that I don't know, it just kept, like, it just kept, like, haunting me or, like, gnawing, like, you know, like, the tiny corner of my mind. And so I just started building out the second half of it, and then realized that there were things that I could do to tie it all together and actually not make, you know, a whole new track, but make a whole new part of one track. And this was born. So yeah, that's how that happened.
So I think you said on when we were off there that there was more to it than just the bagpipe. So what else is in the song?
Yeah. So, I mean, and you know, I guess, like there were the chords and the rhythms first. And, so a lot of synths. I don't think there's any guitar on this. So it's all synths and programming and, you know, synth mods. And, I think I used a Lin drum sound for the drums. What else is on there? Yeah, just a lot of synths and bass and bagpipes, and a lot of bagpipes too. Like I mean, that's the fun thing about having a, you know, your own recording studio or your own home studio, is that you can overdub whatever you want. And with the bagpipes or electronic bagpipes, you don't have to worry about bothering that many people, and kind of just play with it and see what can be done. Because you know, as much as I don't necessarily miss playing in a bagpipe band, I do miss some of the things that are possible by that are possible when you have multiple bagpipers, and things like harmonies or like counterpoint. And so just kind of imagine what, if you know, in an ideal world, like what would this sound like? And I try to get it down on tape or, you know, digital, so to speak.
So how, like, where would you play out with, as, like you mentioned weddings. So yeah, that makes sense, but where else, like, and how does somebody go about getting you to come play?
So yeah, I do. So like I have like the traditional bagpipe side of me that like wears the kilt and the hose and has the sporran and, you know, plays the bagpipes for weddings, funerals, birthday parties, done family reunions, you know, corporate events, golf courses, things like that. You can find me for those kinds of events through SeanO'DonnellBagpiper.com or, just Google it. I have a lot of domain names. I can't even remember them all. And so I do that a lot, or a fair amount. And, but that's not like, so like I wouldn't play this song that's coming out in 2 days at any of those kinds of events. Like those are more, you know, you play what the people want because they're paying you, but it's usually like Amazing Grace or Scott and the Brave or things like that. The more traditional Highland bagpipe songs or Irish songs that they want to play on the bagpipes and things like that. Now, as far as like playing the kind of stuff that I'm doing with Law and some of the things that were on my last album, The Mayor of Yesterday, I'm working on that and hope to, you know, next year be able to play out a bit. You know, like festivals, Deutsch Town, you know, maybe something at the government center or places like that where, they'd be more open to a more experimental bagpipe performance and not, you know, some guy in a kilt playing Scott and the Brave.
Are there opportunities to collaborate? Like have bands approached you about playing on any of their stuff?
Not yet.
Or would you be willing to do that?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd be willing to. A couple years ago, Saint Dude put out a track that was this epic track that they got like musicians from all over, to like send them. Like I don't remember how long it was, but you know, brief guitar solos or brief solos that they stitched together into the greater part of the song, which was really cool. And so I submitted a bagpipe solo that was included on that, which I thought fit in really well and was cool to be a part of that. You know, as far as like bagpiping or traditional bagpiping, I got to play with Gene the Werewolf about 10, I don't know, like 12 years ago or so. They played it, I can't remember what it's called, on the South Side, not the Rex, but the one that was across the street, that was more like a dance club. But they played there like between Christmas and New Year's one year, and they wanted bagpipes for whatever opening track that they had in mind. And it was a really cool experience to play with them. And then as far as like playing with like the more experimental side of it, I do play with a group called the Farm Goal Ensemble. We don't play often because one of them is in San Francisco, and the other three of us who could play are starting to think about playing more, but we just haven't done it yet. But that's like a drums and guitar, and then I play bass and, you know, crazy bagpipes. And that's where I would play like the more experimental kind of bagpipe.
Tell you what, let's take a break and play La.
Cool.
And then we'll come back and I'll ask you some more traditional Pennsylvania rock show questions, which, as you know, aren't traditional.
I love it.
All right. So we're going to take a moment. We're going to listen to La by Six-O-Matic, and we'll be right back with Sean. We'll be right back. Okay, that was La by Six-O-Matic. With me tonight is Sean, who is Six-O-Matic. Yeah. So we kind of covered your bagpipes and the synth and how you put your music together. Now we're going to find out some of the other stuff, that the oddball stuff that I ask. And I may have, some of these questions might be repeats from the last time you were on, but we'll see how it goes. What is the best pizza you've ever had because you're a musician?
Oh man. Well, and yeah, that's a tough one. Cause, I also, worked in pizza for quite a long time. So, I had a lot of opportunities to make my own. So I'm probably going to say my own was one of the best ones I ever had. So there is a pizza that, a friend of mine made. We worked together at Pizza Hut, and we actually play with him in the Farm Gold Ensemble, and which we got our name from the name of the spray can of Food Release. It was Farm Gold brand Food Release. So the three of the four of us who started that group all worked at that Pizza Hut at the same time, so we called ourselves
the Farm Gold. Is that the stuff they spray in the pan before you put the...
Yeah, like the Pam or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a ubiquitous presence at that time in our lives. So that's how we got that name. But anyway, so this guy Ryan, my good friend, he made a pizza that was he made it to put on the Pizza Hut buffet, but he made it so that it would come back so that we could eat it. so it was. Banana peppers, jalapeno peppers, anchovies, and I think that might be it. There might have been sausage originally, but I think it was just the three. And so we actually tried it when it came back, largely uneaten, and we actually really enjoyed it. And whenever, not all the time, but often when we get together to play music, we'll get this pizza, which he has named the Afterburner.
I'm assuming that means that there's an issue with the jalapeno afterwards.
Sometimes.
So. I'm of the age now that I take stuff before I eat anything like that.
Yeah.
It used to be, I could eat anything. Now, oh, we're ordering that tonight?
Yeah.
Give me an hour. Let me get this started.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely get that less often than maybe even 5 years ago. Learning our lessons.
So you're leaving a show and you walk out and there's a DeLorean sitting there with its door open, and in the back is a flux capacitor. Where are you going and what musician are you going to hang out with?
Wow.
This one's tough because you can go anywhere in time.
Yeah. And I'm kind of surprised that I'm saying this, because I wouldn't have thought this maybe even yesterday, but it would be really cool to go back to like the 1800s and learn like the traditional or the more classical bagpipe tunes from the original masters, like the people who passed it down, and the people who were writing some of those songs, and they were passing it down through the oral tradition, and just to be there at that time and hear them play it and learn it from them in that manner would be, I think, pretty remarkable.
If you could, you're sitting on a bench and your musical idol sits down beside you and says to you, you can ask me one question. What are you going to ask? And who is it?
Wow. See, this one's tough because, like, there are multiple idols that I could think of, but
multiple instruments and multiple styles, and
and like which one for the which question? I'd probably say, I think it would just be fun to say Jerry Garcia and just say, "What's up, man?" Because I think that he could probably just start talking and, you know, it'd be a trip.
Pun intended. I was going to ask, was that? if they were to make a biopic about you years from now, you know, kind of like Motley Crue and Dirt, who would play you in that?
Well, because I think at this point in my life, I have the physical resemblance, and I think he's a wonderful actor, especially in this time of his life, I would pick Richard Schiff from the West Wing days.
I don't know his name, but when as soon as you said who and what he was in, I was like, oh yeah, that guy. Okay,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's I realized that, like, that's my easy out for a Halloween costume if I can't think of something or I need to get one in a pinch, because I just, you know, throw on a suit and be a little bit more surly sometimes and probably nail it.
This could be interesting. So Kiss has played in a bay in Australia while they were baiting the sharks. So they were drawing sharks to the boat while they were playing. So they played with great white sharks.
Wow.
And Metallica, at least I think they were great white. I'd have to look it up again. But Metallica has played in Antarctica. What non-traditional place would you like to play your bagpipes at?
Well, I was thinking of like a place high up, because that would be cool, but like nobody, like it would only be, I mean, it would be cool to see, for me, because I'd be able to see everything, but I don't think the sound would actually travel that far. So
I'm biting my tongue not to explain the science behind why it wouldn't. I teach science.
Please. Yeah. I don't know. I think some kind of like bioluminescent cave maybe would be cool, because, like I would like the echo, and bouncing off all the rocks and surfaces. So yeah, we'll go with the cave, and then preferably one that has bioluminescence.
That's actually a really cool answer. Here, I'll give you my opinion based on what I know. So sound is based on vibrating particles that are in the air. Mm-hmm. Well, the higher you go, the further apart the particles are, so they can't run into each other as often. And that's also why, like, when the Steelers used to play in Mile High, I can't remember which player it was, but he couldn't play because he didn't get enough oxygen, because the oxygen molecules were further apart.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my opinion is that it probably wouldn't travel very far, because it can't make the particles hit to make the sound travel.
Huh. Yeah.
I could be wrong, but
I would buy it. That sounds reasonable. Interesting.
Let's see. How about we'll do one more oddball question, and then I'll give you those two questions I told you we'd end on. So this one, probably asked, because it is what I call it, the unofficial Build the Scene question. I ask it on almost every podcast, and that's, who is your Dave Grohl? And by that, I mean, what band would you want to go up on stage and play one of their originals with them?
Hmm. Oh, man. Like all time?
Yeah. Hmm. You still have a DeLorean. We didn't return that thing yet.
Nice. Well, since we're talking outside the realm of possibility, I have no idea. wow, this is surprisingly hard. It would be really cool, or it would have been really cool to play with the Olivia Tremor Control in the 90s. We'll go with that.
Hey, so easy questions.
Thanks.
So where can the listeners find you and your brand new track?
On Friday, September 9th, it will be available on all digital and streaming platforms. So Apple Music, Spotify, it'll be available on my Bandcamp page, which is sixomatic.bandcamp.com. Hopefully it will be on, some internet radio stations as well.
And you're like this one.
Yes, exactly. And, that's it. Yeah.
Cool. So I've had facebook.com/sixomatic below me most of the episode. Mm-hmm. Can people contact you through there?
Yep, absolutely. Sorry. Yeah. Facebook.com/sixomatic, twitter.com/sixomatic. I'm on Instagram as well. There's an underscore somewhere in there, so we'll just say look for it. But yeah.
And lastly, what's coming up next for Sixomatic? What do you have planned?
So I am still working out the kinks on how I'm going to do live performances, feeling good about how things are going. So hopefully in 2023, you'll see Sixomatic on some festival lineups and maybe some small shows here and there. And then as far as music, I'm always constantly making new music, and I have a couple things in mind that I want to try to finish, and I think the one that's probably closest to being done and ready is going to be an actually all bagpipe album, it will be even weirder than Law, which comes out in a couple of days. Really pushing the limits of what the instrument does and is known for, and really trying to do whatever I can think of, I guess, basically with the bagpipes, in a generally ambient electronic psychedelic, platform.
Now you say it'll be all bagpipes. Is it going to be, the digital, or is it going to be the traditional, or is it going to be like a mix?
A mix. And it'll be not all bagpipes, but every track will be bagpipe centric. So there will be other synths, and there's bass guitar and probably not guitar. But yes, it will be a mix of the electronic and the acoustic.
I was trying to figure out what word I was supposed to use there. Traditional sounded okay, I thought.
Yeah, unplugged, I don't know.
But hey, Sean, I want to thank you for hanging out with me on 635. I lost track of the number.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for having me. It's great to chat with you again, and thanks for the time.
You're welcome.
Shrug my shoulders and blew the whole thing off. in the blink of an eye, yeah. Disappear, all wrapped up in someone else, and I lost another year. Time keeps ticking away, and I feel like I wasted the day thinking about things that don't really matter. Ain't it funny how time flies? Ain't 10 years in the blink of an eye, yeah. 10 years in the blink of an eye. 10 long, 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 boring years. 10 years in the blink of an eye. 10 long years. Feel like you wanna cry. It was wrong.
thought of all the truth in your tattoo. We were drunk on love when you got that rose, hidden safe and sound underneath your clothes. It's a mystery, why I set you free. Baby blues, they were. I didn't see the light. Baby blues, so damn bad tonight without you. Without you. Without you.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate, review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.